Today's scripture reading is that we have two places. First one is Genesis chapter 6, verse 1 to 3. And second one is Matthew chapter 24, verse 37 to 39. The title is Noah Preparing the Ark, the part 1. I'd like to read Genesis chapter 6, verse 1 to 3. Now it came about when men began to multiply on the face of the land, and the daughters were born to them, that the sons of God saw that the daughters of men were beautiful, and they took wives for themselves, whomever they choose. Then the Lord said, My spirit shall not strive with man forever, because he also is flesh. Nevertheless, his day shall be 120 years. And the second one is I like to read Matthew chapter 24, verse 37 to 39. For the coming of the Son of Man will be just like the days of Noah. For as in those days which were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, they were marrying and giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered the ark. And they did not understand until the flood came and took them away, so shall the coming of the Son of Man be. This is the word of God. The Bible gives the two main reasons why the earth was judged by a flood in the days of Noah. The first, it says that the sons of God, the daughters of men, and choose the beautiful woman so according to their own desire, thus withholding the breath of life, the breath of God, which is the source of the life from man, the resulting in the creation of flesh. This is in the same vein as when the first man Adam departed from the word of God, listened to the serpent, and fell, and God withdrew the breath of life from him, and he became dust and flesh. You can see that the Genesis chapter 2, verse 7, and Genesis chapter 3, verse 19. I like to read that the Genesis chapter 3, verse 19. Till you return to the ground, because from it you were taken, for you are dust, and to dust you shall return. In this context, the sons of God are godly, descendant of Seth, the godly Abraham, who lives by faith in the word of God. The daughters of men are the fleshly descendant of Cain, the unbelievers. The Bible warns us about these peoples in the Psalm chapter 8, verse 5 and 7 to 9. Yeah, I like the verse 7. Because the mind set on the flesh is hostile toward God, for it does not subject itself to the law of God, for it is not even able to do so. Verse 8, and those who are in the flesh cannot please God. In other words, those who were inhabited by the Spirit of God did not follow the Spirit, but instead desired the things of the flesh. By living according to the flesh, they could not please God and became his enemies of him, resulting in the Spirit of God departing from them. God warns us in the Psalm chapter 8, verse 13, for if you are living according to the flesh, without God, the Spirit, you must die. But if by the Spirit, that is the God's Spirit, you are putting to death the deed of the body, you will live. Amen. And the Lord said that those who do not have the Spirit of Christ do the deeds of the flesh, which is the pattern of life in Noah's time. In the Matthew chapter 24, verse 38 to 39, that Jesus said, For as in those days which were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, they were marrying and giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered the ark, and they did not understand until the flood came and took them away. So shall the coming of the Son of Man be. It speaks of eating, drinking, marrying, and giving in marriage. We may wonder, are eating, drinking, marrying, and giving in marriage the sins that will be judged? We may wonder if these are things that humans take for granted. When we focus on eating and drinking for the sake of the flesh, our hearts are separate from thinking and desiring God, which is why the Lord spoke in parables of sown in the heart. You can see that Mark chapter 4, verse 19, I like to read, and the worries of the world and the disputes of riches and the desire for other things enter in and choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. The problem is that the center of their lives, the focus is not on God, but on themselves. What sin is there in getting married? However, when one does not praise God first, instead prioritize their spouse, they become distracted by worldly matters. Let's look at the 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 33 to 34. I'd like to read, "But one who is married is concerned about the things of the world, how he may please his wife." And also in the last part of the chapter, verse 34, "One who is married is concerned about things of the world, how she may please her husband." Isn't it the purpose for which God created us to please Him through faith? Right? Let's look at the 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 1. "Finally then, brethren, we request and exhort you in the Lord Jesus that as you receive from us instruction as to how you ought to work and please God, just as you actually do work, that you may excel still more." The life of believers like this should be devoted to pleasing God rather than peoples. That is why the Apostle Paul made his position clear. According to the 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 4, the Apostle Paul said, "Just as we have been approved by God to be entrusted with the gospel, so we speak not as a pleasing man, but God who examines our hearts." So, is we to pleasing to God, how do we live? That is Hebrews chapter 12, verse 28. The scripture talk to us, "Let us show gratitude by which we may offer to God an acceptable service with reverence and awe." That's going to be make a pleasing to God. To depart from God and do as one think one for oneself is the evil of which God speaks to us. Let's look at the Jeremiah chapter 2, verse 13. "For my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters, to hew for themselves cisterns, broken cisterns. They can hold no water." To forsake God is to enter into past self-destructions. God has destroyed all those who have forsaken Him, not a single one. You can see the Psalm chapter 73, verse 27, For behold, those who are far from thee will perish. Thou hast destroyed all those who are unfaithful to thee. The time of Noah, the time of the Son of Man, was the time of this iniquity, the time when the earth was filled with iniquity, lawlessness, and the world that was rotten from the inside out because of the departure from God. No one was spared, and all were thoroughly corrupt. You can see that Genesis chapter 6, verse 5, verse 11 to 12. So God said, God looked on the earth, and it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupt their way upon the earth. That is why the Lord spoke these words of warning to us. Let's look at the Matthew chapter 6, verse 31 to 33. Do not be anxious then, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we clothe ourselves? For all these things the Gentiles eagerly seek, for your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Believers love to have a lot of material things, and they think it's natural, but the Lord is worried of this. He said the rich man was pleased with his possessions, and he saved up a lot of them, and he planned to live the rest of his life without worry. But the problem was that he forgot about God in his preparation for himself. If the Lord take a person's soul and life on that night, what will become of all wealth they have accumulated while worrying about the worldly matters? The scripture calls such a person foolish. Having wealth is not a sin. Does sin rise in distancing oneself from God while holdings and accumulating neglecting to dedicate to one's heart to Him? You can see that the whole chapter, the Luke chapter 12. Then the Jesus turned to his disciples once again in the Luke chapter 12, verse 22 to 23, and he said to his disciples, for this reason I say to you, do not be anxious for your life as to what you shall eat, not for your body as to what you shall put on. For life is more than food, and the body than clothing. This speaks to those who live as if their physical existence in everything, despite having a life that is shorter than a moment of this earth. It is message to teach them the way eternal life filled with joy, delight, and happiness. The love of money is said to be the root of all evil. According to the 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 10, for the love of money is the root of all sort of evil, and some by longing for it have wandered away from the faith and pierced themselves with many a pang. When people prioritize eating, drinking, marrying, and giving in marriage, they forget God in their lives and live according to their own desire, which is the path to sin. This was the case in Noah's day when these things in life were taken for granted, but God is telling us that this is a time full of evil. You can find out the Genesis chapter 6, verse 5, then the Lord saw that the weakness of man was wickedness of man was great on the earth, and every intent of the thought of his heart was only evil continually. As was the case with Lot, a foreshadowing of God's judgment of fire in the last day. You can find out Luke chapter 17, verse 28. I like to read, it was the same as happened in the days of Lot. They were eating, they were drinking, they were buying, they were selling, they were planting, they were building. In the time of Lot, eating and drinking occupied an important part of life. Furthermore, people engaged in commerce to maximize their own gain, placing their hope not in heaven but on earth matter, rooting their heart in the world. When they do not live as pilgrims on this earth and fail to consider returning to their true homeland, the kingdom of God, that is time of the end. Doesn't that describe our life today? What are we putting first in our lives today? Are we living the church and the office and the positions that God has given us for our own good, like throwing away an old shoe? We don't know specifically why they left the church, but it is clear that they put the cares of the world and their own good before God. If you exhort such people with the word of God, they will return to you, according to the Judas chapter verse 10. But this man revived the things which they do not understand. So God saw this behavior of the world and lamented it with regret. In the Genesis chapter 6, verse 6, and the Lord was sorry that he had made man on the earth, and he was grieved in his heart. So what must we do to live in such a world and hold on to God to the end, says the Lord in the Matthew 24, verse 39, we can find out answers. And they did not understand until the flood came and took them all away. So shall the coming of the Son of Man be. If we are lived according to the God's will, according to the God's word, and bear the fruit of life that God desires, our greatest need is to be blessed with the grace of enlightenment, understanding. Without understanding, no matter how great a man may be, he is like a beast that passed away. You can see the Psalm chapter 49, verse 20. So is God, Jesus is warning to us in the Matthew chapter 24, verse 42-44. I like to read, therefore, be on the alert, for you do not know which day your Lord is coming. But be sure of this, that if the head of the house had known at what time of the night the thief was coming, he would have been on the alert and would not have allowed his house to be broken into. For this reason, you be ready too, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour when you do not think he will. That's why we need to ask God to keep us awake. We need to be ready. So, and also the Jesus talked to us in the Luke chapter 21, verse 36. But keep on the alert at all times, praying in order that you may have strength to escape all these things that are about to take place and stand before the Son of Man. We need to be awake and ask for God's help to pray in the Spirit. You can see the Ephesians chapter 6, verse 18. The scripture said, with all prayer and the petition prayer at all times in the spirit, and with this in view, be on the alert with all perseverance and petition for all the older saints, praying continually with thanksgiving in your heart. We may awaken and gather our thought. We need to focus our heart and pray. So is it the Peter said in the 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 7, the end of all things is at hand. Therefore, be of sound judgment and sober spirit for the purpose of prayer. When we do, God is the one who enables us to transform our minds to walk according to His will. You can see in the Philippians chapter 2, verse 13, scripture says, for it is God who is at work in you, both to will and to work for His good pleasures. For even though the world is full of iniquity, God searches the earth to find those who are seeking Him, those who are trying to find Him. Let's look at the Psalm chapter 14, verse 2. The Lord has looked down from heaven upon the sons of men to see if there are any who understand, who seek after God. In a world filled with the evil, there was one who found favor in God's eyes, Noah. Even now, God is watching over us. He is searching for those who are awake and praying and desire to do His will. Through today's message, may He pour out a new spirit into our heart, so that all the saints He seeks in this last day may belong to our beloved First Church. Next time, we'll look specifically at how Noah found favor in God's eyes, even though he was full of sins. Amen.